Amen, amen. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. Appreciate the prayers. And good morning. How many of you all are a little bit tired from the little fun we had last night out in the parking lot? A little bit? Yeah, we had an awesome time last night for Fall Fest. It was great. Thank you guys so much for getting the word out about that. For those of you who put together a trunk, man, thank you for doing that as well. For all of you who donated candy, they're going to share a little bit about all that later, but I just wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you. It was just a beautiful way to showcase the generosity of God's church to our community, and I believe many, many, many families were blessed last night. So like Chris said last week, God did gave me a word to preach that I wasn't planning on preaching, but he gave it to me, and it was very powerful and has led to some great conversations since that time, and I believe God working and stirring in the lives of families and marriages, and continued prayers for just what's happening over in Israel. And I think it was about Monday, Tuesday, I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna jump back into the series that we were in, which seems eons ago now, our Tipping Point series, but God hasn't released me from what he had shared last week and continuing into this week, and kind of talking about just the enemy's attacks globally and how those attacks kind of manifest themselves within our families as well. So we will not be jumping back into Tipping Point today, and we may not be jumping back into Tipping Point at all. So there's that. But here's what I do want to say about that. We did that giving series for 2 weeks, and I just wanted to say thank you. Our giving is up, and many people took the challenge, and so I appreciate you guys doing that. Now, I want to dive into today. I know I encouraged and talked a lot about the importance of following what's going on over in Israel and what that means. If you have been following, what you're seeing is that it's escalating. There has been more bombings. There's the death toll has risen, I think, to now 7,300 people. The destruction in Gaza is immense. They showed some just some aerial images of before and after pictures, and it's just completely unrecognizable. And these are communities, these are family homes, this is, you know, local businesses, all just completely decimated. Now, in the midst of all of that, it's not just what's happening between Israel and Hamas. It's creating a stirring and division, like I talked about, throughout the globe, to be honest. And many other nations are jumping in, some for the side of Palestine, some for the side of Israel, and guess what that's creating is just this escalating tension and division throughout all. And there's a lot going on. I don't know if I want to get into it too much because I don't really want to talk about, but U.S. and Iran are now in attacks with one another. There was something about Russia having involvement with Hamas. There are protests happening worldwide. There were just articles about drones being sent out that are hitting Egypt, and there was an issue of China and the U.S. kind of going back and forth about the U.S. kind of infringing upon their airspace, and so the tensions are rising. And so, you know, like I said last week, pray for what's taking place, but just pray about it all. Pray for us globally about what this means. U.S. is sending troops. There are factions in Europe that are sending troops, and it's all culminating on this. So continue to pray about all of this. Actually, I forgot I had some pictures I wanted to show. You guys can go through some of those pictures, and I'll just talk through some of them. I talked about, like, this is just your typical downtown street in Gaza, where people lived, destroyed. And the destruction of that is all across. It says at least 50% of Gaza homes are damaged. Water sanitation is destroyed. And again, this conflict, these atrocities that were done are affecting millions of people. The humanitarian aid is just, it's not enough. And there's a lot going on. You can go to the next picture. Again, this just shows the destruction, and you just, again, sometimes it's easy to be removed from it, but you got to realize that these are people that have everyday lives, and they're just going about their business, and their lives have been utterly destroyed, uprooted. You can go to the next one. This is just a place where they're trying to get out food, and you can just see the desperation and the desire for food. So again, it's heavy stuff, but definitely continue to pray for it. Now, I want to read to you from Genesis 16. This is where God led me to share from today. We talked about how this all goes back to Genesis, Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, Ishmael. The conflict that started there is what you're seeing today. But there's something that I saw within Genesis 16 that I wanted you to see and understand as well. I'm going to read to you. I gave them 11 through 14 or 13 and 14. I'm going to start at 9. So leave that up there. So you won't have 9 and 10, but it says this in verse 9. The angel of the Lord said to her, talking about Hagar, you must go back to your mistress and submit to her mistreatment. The angel of the Lord also said to her, I will greatly multiply your offspring, and they will be too many to count. Now, again, this is the angel of the Lord, which, if you were here for our series, this is, you know, Jesus talking to Hagar in this moment, saying to Hagar that her offspring will be too many to count, multiply. And you see this familiar promise that was given to Abraham and Sarah. Okay, now we're getting to verse 11. The angel of the Lord continued, behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you shall name him Ishmael. Which means God hears, because the Lord has heard and paid attention to your persecution and suffering. Verse 13 says, so she called the Lord who spoke to her the God who sees. For she said, in this place have I actually seen the one who sees me. That is why she named the spring a well of the living one who sees me. Now, it's the one thing I want you to really see here is what Hagar says about God, about Yahweh. God sees me. God sees me in my suffering. Now, she is an Egyptian servant. And so she's realizing who this God is and that God hasn't just left her out in the wilderness to die and be alone, but he sees her. And then Ishmael's name is God hears. If you fast forward a little bit into Genesis, I believe it's 21 or 22, it talks about how they went out and they were sent away and they were kind of just ready to die. And the angel of the Lord showed up again and said, I hear the boy crying out. And God hears and God sees. And I think this is what kind of has been stirring in my heart, that we would see what's taking place and we would see all of it. It's easy to pick sides, choose sides, say who's right, say who's wrong. But God is a God who sees it all and hears it all, has a heart for it all. So God sees Hagar and Ishmael's hurting and suffering. God sees the innocent in Gaza and in Israel hurting and suffering. God sees what's been done, what's being done, and he also steps in to do something to intervene. I don't know about you, but what I've experienced and what I've witnessed about God is that he always takes something that is bad and turns it into good. So God sees, God hears, and he responds. And so that means that if God is doing that and he showcases that all throughout his word, then we must do the same. We must see, we must hear, and we must respond. But then I get into some questions. I think we all go through these questions. Questions of why. Because in seeing and hearing and ultimately blessing Hagar and Ishmael, guess what that led to? Future conflict and suffering and death. And so you say, well, if God foreknew what would happen by coming and seeing and hearing Hagar and Ishmael, why not just let them die, right? If he knew. Because it's two lives over countless countless lives. Seeing and saving and blessing Hagar and Ishmael ultimately led to war and conflict and suffering. I don't know about you. I don't know if you wrestle with that. Because actually, you can go through a lot of the Old Testament and go, man, why would God do that? You get into, you know, the Israelites taking the promised land and going into a land that was not yet theirs, but God promised to them. And God says, go in and eradicate a people. And you begin to question, why? And it's a tough question. And it's the one we may not ever know the answer to this side of heaven. But I wonder, how do we reconcile that today, right? Can we view the war and the conflict that's happening today as God's plan? I don't know about you, but I fully believe that God is ultimately in control. So he knew this was going to happen. And then you and I have to come to a place where we understand who he is, understand his character, understand his intentions, but also that we don't fully understand all of his ways. But it's hard because we see the suffering, we see the hurt, we see the pain, we see the division, and we're left just saying, why, God? And maybe you say, what good could ever come from this conflict? What good? And maybe you say, well, okay, maybe in this moment, like, what God was doing through Jesus, he was showing up and saying to Hagar, listen, what took place to you was not your fault. And someone else's sin should not cause you or lead you to death. And so he sees Hagar in this moment. I mean, she was pulled into a plan of disobedience and rebellion by Abraham and Sarah, Hagar was. And so now God's saying, I'm not going to punish you for that. And so maybe that was it. Just right now, I want you to understand, like, God's not going to punish her for the sins of Abraham and Sarah. Or maybe, and again, this is just more forward thinking, maybe what took place, his seeing, hearing, and blessing, was in order to bring God glory at a much later time when millions of Muslims will come to know the Lord in one day. And Jews, for that matter. Everything that God does or that takes place is ultimately to bring him glory. It's hard for us to see because sometimes we don't get to see his plan fully play out. I mean, the same is true for Abraham and Sarah because there is a covenant, a promised covenant to be the father of the nation of Israel through Isaac. But really what that was is that one day there would be a savior that would come that would bring reconciliation to all. It was Jesus. So that's what I believe. It's all about God's glory. Now, I ponder it deeply, and I think about it a lot. I'm always drawn back to who God is, to his character. So I cannot give an answer with 100% certainty and confidence as to why this is taking place. But I do know, with 100% certainty, I know about God's character. God's plan is and always will be reconciliation, redemption, restoration of those who call on the name of Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That was his plan. It's always been his plan. It will always be his plan. I also have with equal certainty that for those who do not call on the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior, there will be divine judgment and justice. That one's a little bit harder to come to terms with, isn't it? Because those are big numbers. Now, here's the truth about what's taking place in Israel and Palestine. The latter, the divine judgment and justice, is true for both. I shared the numbers with you. The numbers were staggering. 75%, well, there's 2% of Christians in Israel, less than 1% in Gaza, which means staggering numbers do not know Jesus, have not called on the name of Jesus, leading to divine judgment and justice. This is also true for our marriages and families. I don't have the statistics. I don't need to give you the statistics. I think you know already how the enemy has been attacking family, what he's been doing to rot the core of family, to destroy the commitment of marriage, to destroy families, you know, having children and loving their children, and the numbers are staggering. We get into this, who is right, who is wrong. I really think all that needs to change. And then we say, well, who is serving and who is seeking the will of God? And that's really it. And really, it's who is standing up to restore and repair the damage that sin has caused to the covenant relationship that God wants with all of us? Who's going to step in and do that? I'm going to be bold and say it's not Israel. It's not Palestine. Based on the numbers, it's neither. Let me share an article with you. This is John Piper. This is from 2016, by the way, in one of the other conflicts that they had. It says, there's a link on there if you want to get the next picture, but it says, a non-covenant-keeping people does not have a divine right to hold the land of promise which was given by covenant. Covenant breaking forfeits covenant privileges. God said to Israel, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. Today, Israel is a covenant-breaking people. There are thousands, I know, of Messiah-trusting Jews. They are not covenant-breaking. They enjoy God's saving favor. But as a whole, as an ethnic unity, as a state, they are defined by rejecting Messiah Jesus. They don't want to define themselves as Christian. If they embrace Messiah Jesus as Messiah and Savior, they would be Christian. They are self-consciously not Christian. They are in a state of treason against their king who sent his son to save them, and a people in treason against her king cannot lay a legitimate claim on the king's promise to a covenant-keeping people. You can go read the rest of it. It's a great article. Again, that was written in 2016. Kind of brings it into kind of a stark reality of what's taking place. And again, maybe leads to more quiet. What is God doing right now? He's up to something. Now, I talked a little bit of last week, and it's difficult to watch, and it's hard to see the suffering, but I believe what's going to happen from it is God's glory. And God give him more glory than we've ever seen him given, especially over in Israel. But here's what we know. When conflict comes, we always ask why. Why? Why is this taking place? But at the end of the day, conflict, war, suffering, hurt, it's always born out of rebellion, disobedience, and most of the time, pride. Abraham and Sarah caused a breach in the covenant promise and ultimately a covenant relationship with God, and they brought Hagar into it and led to conflict. Sarah allowed disobedience to cause conflict. Hagar allowed pride to cause conflict. Abram idly agreed to and allowed the rebellion and disobedience, and he caused conflict. All conflict is born out of rebellion and disobedience to God's plan, to God's will, to what God has promised to do. In that conflict that is born out of sin, guess what it always leads to? Suffering. Always. And here's the stark reality, and we see it. Who suffered the most due to Abraham's lack of leading, discernment, and obedience? The women and the children. Hagar and Ishmael. And Sarah. I think the same is true for us today. Who suffers due to a father's lack of leading, discernment, and obedience to live for God? It's women and children and marriage and families. I didn't share this earlier, so there have been 7,300 people killed. Currently, 30 children are held in captivity. Over 3,000 children have died. and 1,700 women have been killed. So 4,700 of that 7,300 is women and children suffering. The women and children suffer. It's true for Hagar and Ishmael. It's true for Israel and Gaza. And it's true for our families. And here's what I see in the war, and I see in ministry. Idle men become angry and sinful men who pursue selfish desires that lead to destruction. And it hurts families, and it hurts women, and it hurts children. When men don't lead, families suffer. It's all rooted out of the same thing. There's pride. There's rebellion. There's disobedience. And all of those things, they cause a breach. They cause a breach in relationship the way that God designed and orchestrated it. So there's a breach, right, between husband and wife. There's a breach between father and child. And ultimately, those things come from a breach in covenant relationship between man and God. And a breach in a covenant relationship with God always leads to conflict, destruction, and ruin. We cannot allow or continue to allow or to live in the brokenness of sin. We have to raise up. We have to repair. We have to restore men. We have to see and hear and respond the way that the Father does. Our kids need to see and feel it and experience the love of the Father through us. Our wives need to see, feel, and experience the compassionate love of God through us. Isaiah 58, this is one of the scriptures that God gave to me, and he said this, you need to preach this. I want to read verses 6 all the way through 12 to you, and I believe this is what men need to be doing right here, right now, in our families, in our community. It says, is not this the fast that I chose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, the spreading wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You will rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of streets to dwell in. I read that and I go, and this is what we need to be living out right now. Against the wickedness that's taking place in a far off country, but also right here in our own backyard. To repair the breach. To restore the streets. To raise up the foundations that have been decimated for generations. Sarah and Abraham, Hagar and Ishmael, it led to a breach in relationship with God and others. That breach led to conflict. That breach led to hurting for generations to come that we're still witnessing and experience today in both Gaza and Israel. And let me just tell you this, the breach in covenant leading to conflict in Israel can only be repaired by faith in Jesus. It's him and him alone. Now, in Genesis 17:21, it says that that God will confirm his covenant with Isaac. And so again, this whole fight is about Isaac and Ishmael and this whole claim on the land. But really what that was, it wasn't about Isaac. It was about who would come from Isaac, right? It's Jesus. It's always leading through Jesus. The covenant is confirmed in Jesus, and Jesus is what these people need if they want to have peace in their midst. It's what our families need if we want to have peace in our midst. It's Jesus. It's always been Jesus. In all too many families, there is a breach in relationship with God, which leads to suffering and hurting of our relationships with our spouse and with our children, and that leads to suffering and hurting for generations to come after us. Because we have not been living in covenant relationship with God. We have not been seeking him and seeking his ways. We instead have been seeking our own selfish desires and putting ourselves up in pride and rebellion and sin, and it causes hurting. God led me to another passage of scripture, Ezekiel 22:30. Here's what it says. And I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me in the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. This rocks me to the core. Because I have that same sense in our community. And in our nation, there are just not enough men standing up and standing in the breach to fight for their families, to fight for their marriage. And generations are hurting and being deceived and being led astray because of it. The question then is the same question now. Who will stand in the breach? You know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the power of this as it relates to foster and adoptive care. A few years back, we did a video with One More Child, and one of the things that I shared is that as a foster and adoptive parent, really as a foster parent, what we get to do is stand in the gap where there has been hurt and suffering that's been taking place. And we don't know how long we get to do that, but in those moments when we're able to bring a child into our home who is suffering, who is hurting, it's not their fault. We see and hear what they're going through, and we respond to it. And how do we respond? We respond the same way that God does, with compassionate love, an unconditional love, and sacrificial love. And in those moments when we bring children into our home, for however long, we get an opportunity to do one thing, to show them the love of Jesus. We plant seeds. I've had children come through my home for a week, a day, 6 months. I know that time was not for nothing. And what I've seen and what I've experienced in that, in 9 out of 10 cases, these families are suffering because of fatherlessness. They don't have a father who shows them love and compassion of the father. They don't have a father who is loving their wife the way that Jesus loved the church. They don't have a man who's standing up for what is right. Brings pain and destruction. And me and my wife were just given an opportunity to stand in that breach first the time. I don't know what God did with it in most cases, but I know it wasn't for nothing. And one day, my hope is that they'll remember the love of Jesus that was shown to them. Because that's it. So that means men, husbands, fathers, we must it is imperative that we stand in the breach, believing in and living for Jesus and showcasing that lifestyle to others, especially to our spouse and to our children. Listen, I feel absolutely helpless to do anything about what's going on in Israel. I don't even, like, I look at it and I go, what can I do? How can I help? What can I say? I don't know. I feel helpless, and maybe an opportunity present itself, but here's what I do know. I'm not helpless when it comes to helping this side, where we don't want to see what's happening there happen here. And it means that men need to raise up, live for God, follow Jesus, and love their families that way. And I can do something about that. I can do my very best. And does it mean that there'll be conflict and tension? Yes. Does it mean I might upset your marriage and cause conflict? Yes. But if it means it draws you both closer to God and closer to Jesus and ultimately closer together, taking that breach and repairing it, then I've done what God has called me to do. If we want to see change, it requires men to stand in the breach, to live in covenant relationship with God, to lead as God purposed us to be restorers of foundations, to be repairers of broken walls in our marriages and our relationships with our children and even with other men, and to protect our wives and children from the generational conflict and suffering that's been going on because of sin. Here's what I want you to know. Ultimately, Ezekiel 22:30, you know who that's pointing to, right? It's pointing to Jesus. God repairs broken relationships through covenant relationship with Jesus. That's it. You want to see repair, you want to see restoration, you want to see redemption, then you run to Jesus. You take your sinful desires, you take your pride, you take your disobedience, you take your rebellion, and you throw it out the door and you head towards Jesus. However that manifests itself in your life, whatever that looks like in your life, whatever's keeping you from Jesus, toss it out and run to Jesus. And when you run to him and you bow at his feet and you worship him and praise him, that covenant relationship will then bring restoration to all your other relationships that have been broken and hurting and suffering because of the sin that you have been living in. The sin of pride, the sin of disobedience, the sin of selfishness, the sin of laziness. It's Jesus. Jesus repairs the breach between all humanity and God done by sin. Jesus, he hears, he sees, and he showed up for Hagar and Ishmael, and he sees and hears, and he shows up for us today. It's the same. He is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. He doesn't change. He doesn't. His restoration doesn't change. His redemption doesn't change. His reconciliation doesn't change. We just have to change where we're headed, which is sin, and just start heading towards him. That's how we can stand up. Now here's the deal. Jesus, it was through Jesus that the covenant was made, right? It was through Jesus that you and I are brought back into covenant relationship with God. But there's a greater promise that comes too. Because along with that amazing promise, Jesus says to us, the same spirit that resides in me will reside in you. And where I come, and I'm on this earth for a short period of time to stand in the breach to show you what you can do, I am empowering you and giving you authority to now go and stand in the breach for your family, for your home, for your marriage, for your kids. He gives us the power and authority of the Holy Spirit, so when the Hamas spirit shows up, we can say, not here, not my house, not my heart, not my mind, not my wife, not my kids, not my community. It's through the Holy Spirit. And that's what he gave us. And that's when we have that Holy Spirit, when we're relying on the Holy Spirit, that's when we can stand firm and we can stand in the gap, we can stand in the breach, and that's when restoration and healing and redemption begins to take place for your marriage, for your children. That's how it takes place. Isaiah 61. Verses 1-4. I love this. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me. because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, festival oil instead of mourning, splendid clothes instead of despair, and they will call righteous trees planted by the Lord to glorify him. Ready for it? They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore the former devastations. They will renew the ruined cities and the devastations of many generations. Jesus repairs the breach, and he calls us to do the same. We're given that so that we can stand in the breach in our families for our children, so we can bring repair. But it's not just repair, right? It's also so that we can prepare them, prepare their hearts, prepare their minds for the fight that is going to come, the fight that is already here. We prepare the hearts and mind of our spouse, of our kids, for the homicidal spirit, for the sinful spirit, for the rebellious spirit, for the disobedient spirit that will one day show up and try to attack them. But if we as men, as husbands, as fathers, have stood in that breach and shown our children what it means to rely on God, man, that's it. That's all we can do. Here's what I want to do. I want you to bow your heads. I want to close out, and it, we can talk about it all day, and we can say this is what we want and this is what we desire, but if we want to see change, if we want to see change in our world, it starts in our home. It starts with loving our wife. The way we're supposed to. Seeing our wife and hearing our wife the way that God does. It starts with our children. So here's my call today. Men, right now in this place, if you are a husband, if you are a father, if you are saying, today I profess my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to be a man that will stand in the breach for my family and for this community, I'm going to ask you to just come join me right up front. I want to pray for you, but I'm going to challenge you as well. Come up front right now and start fervently praying for your home. Start fervently praying for your wife. Start fervently praying for your kids. If you're a man in here today and you are not a husband, you are not a father, you will be someday. So come up here and pray that God will prepare your heart and mind right now for what is to come, so that when the day comes that you are a husband, that you are a father, that you will be the man that stands in the breach. Start praying now, men. Just start praying. Pray for your wife. Pray for your spouse. Pray for the attacks on your heart and mind. Pray against the lust and the sinful temptation that this world throws in our eyes and in our heart all day long. Pray for your kids. Pray for what they're experiencing in culture today, the lies of the enemy, the identity that they are trying to give them that is counterfeit to who God called them to be. God, we stand right now in the breach. We stand for marriages. We stand for our children. We stand by the authority of the Holy Spirit given to us. I pray that the bondage of sin and addiction will be broken in marriages and families right now. That children would see your son Jesus grab a hold of the heart of each and every one of these men, and they would see Jesus in them. That their wives would experience Jesus in them. Keep praying, men. Now, wives, listen to me. Come up here and start praying behind your man. Come pray over him. Come support him. It is hard and it is difficult to do this. The attacks of the enemy are relentless, and they show up in so many ways, in lust and greed and pride. Pray over your husband, pray over your man, pray over your father, pray over your children, pray over the attacks that they deal with every single day. Pray that there would be open lines of communication. When there is sin, when there is temptation, when there needs to be accountability, and that we would have bold, courageous communication with one another. The enemy wants us to keep our sin
in isolation. God says, bring it to the light. And in the light, it will be just redeemed. In the light, it will be destroyed. In the light, we will bring it, be brought to the truth. And that's what we're praying right now. God, your word is truth. And it is so powerful. God, we look around the world today and we hurt. We feel the pain and we feel the suffering. But at the same time, we know and believe that you are good and you are working. And when we stand and when we pray and we call out your name, knowing that you see us and you hear us, God, man, your will be done and you will ultimately be given glory. Thank you for your spirit today. Thank you for these men. Thank you for these men who have been standing in the breach and right now have confirmed that I'm not backing down. The enemy may try, but I have the Holy Spirit and I'm not backing down. May we continue to fight. May we continue to just grow together in unity. May we continue to join arms as a community, as couples, and strengthen this. And may people begin to see the love and life and joy and hope and peace that is found in Jesus. May they see it in us. May they see it in our families. May they see it in our relationship. May they see it in how we talk to one another and how we treat one another. God, may Jesus just overflow from this place. And what you've done here today. It's in his name that I pray. Amen, 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 amen. God is good. He is good.